everyone. My name is John Venus. Welcome back to another episode. Today, I have my friend Blake Michael with us, and we're going to chat, as you know, we always do on this podcast, about everything that is of interest, everything plant-based, everything, you know, fitness, personal development related. And I think Blake is going to be an awesome guest for today's episode because he doesn't really fit the usual bill in terms of the, you know, average social media superstar actor and, you know, just a LA, you know, young LA dude, basically. A lot of things stood out, you know, differently from Blake when I first met him. And that is why, you know, I'm honored to have him on the podcast today to share some of his insights and his personality. So welcome to the show, man.
Thank you, John. Thank you. It's good to be here. I know I definitely vibe with you the first time we met, and I was like, yeah, I could be friends with this guy. You know, it was an instant connection, but thanks for having me, man.
No, 100%. I felt exactly the same way, and I don't say that about a lot of people. You're super down to earth despite having, you know, a million followers on Instagram and, you know, having a lot of, you know, experience in acting in LA and Hollywood. So super down to earth, which is super rare, and I always appreciate that. So why don't we start by going a little bit into your backstory? You know, who are you? You know, what is kind of, you know, your career? What is your job? How do you describe yourself?
Yeah, man. So my name is Blake. I was obsessed with playing pretend as a young kid. You know, when I was 3 years old, just like any young person like that, you know, you're watching TV, watching the actors on TV, maybe even doing the Disney Channel wand thing in the mirror and stuff. But I told my mom, I said, Mom, like, I love playing pretend. I was three. And I was like, Mom, I want to do that. I want to be like those kids in the TV. So from an instant, from a very young age, it was an instant attraction towards playing pretend, which, you know, is acting. And she enrolled me in some classes. And I started small back in Atlanta, Georgia. And things kind of started to snowball, and I went from being an actor and extra in movies and TV, and slowly worked my way up to more print commercials.
And, did you start? Yeah, did you start acting when you were 3 years old, or did that come a couple years later?
Yeah, so acting started when I was five. I did modeling when I was three.
Nice.
So yeah, once I turned five, I was doing like more commercials and stuff, and then by the time I turned, I think eight or. And I had my own TV show on Cartoon Network, and that ran for 4 years. And
awesome.
13, I booked a big Disney movie, which is really exciting. And we went on to have an album, and that was really successful and a lot of fun to do. And then I had a show for a while, and I've done all sorts of fun projects in between.
That's amazing, man. And you know, that's you know, it's you say it in a very humble way. So, you know, I know you've the shows and the things you've done are, you know, a pretty big deal to a lot of people. And, you know, a lot of people have been affected by your work and have been entertained by the characters you played. And, you know, there is a reason why people still follow you, you know, even though these roles were played, you know, many years ago, right? So you've definitely changed a lot of people's lives. So, you know, it's good to see you downplaying it, but it is definitely a, you know, a big deal, especially as young as you were. I'm always really interested because I also have, you know, other friends who, you know, have been extremely successful as, you know, child actors. And then, you know, some of them move on to be, you know, really well known in their smaller countries in Europe. And then some of them just lose interest in acting. How has your relationship to acting changed from, you know, as a young age compared to where you are right now?
Yeah, I think a lot of it, that's a great question, John. I think a lot of it boils down to my mom and my dad, how my parents sort of raised me. But my mom was, you know, my mom didn't work. So she was the one driving me to auditions, taking me to casting calls. You know, she was my right hand woman. And, but it was sort of her sense of the idea of a long-term vision that was instilled in me at a young age. So like you said, like, that's awesome if I was able to touch people, if people grew up watching me. It's crazy to think about. But in terms of my career, I am definitely looking 10, 20 years down the road. So I think I still have a lot more work to do.
That is amazing, and that is such a rare thing, especially in you know, younger kids, to have that vision. And your mom did an amazing job instilling that in you, because I remember me as a young kid, you know, I had all these ambitions and big dreams, and I was like, you know, when I'm 18, when I'm this old 18-year-old, I'm gonna have, you know, so much success, I'm gonna be, you know, this superstar or whatever. And then, you know, 18 comes just like that in the blink of an eye, and you realize, wait a minute, like, you know, life is long, like this is just starting. So, you know, you're 23 right now, right?
Yeah, I'm 23 years old. But yeah, I think there's so much more life to live. And especially 100%. When you're young, I mean, like you said, 18 comes so fast.
Yeah.
And when you're young, it's like you don't have that relative perspective to how much can be done in a year, and then also how small a year actually is as you get older.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, man.
How do you look at your kind of like your own long-term vision currently right now? Because I'm guessing, you know, it looks a little bit different because you've developed as a person. As you grow older, you have different perspectives, different understandings of how the world actually works compared to what you thought it would work, right? So how has that, you know, vision changed from, you know, when you were a kid to now, if it has changed at all? I don't know.
I think, I don't know if it's changed. I've definitely learned a whole lot though. Yeah. And I think it's changed in the way that I can appreciate the smaller things around me. I can appreciate the family I have around me, the friends, the resources, and of course now my plant-based lifestyle, which I'm sure we'll get to. But definitely, you know, I'm always trying to learn, always trying to grow. I picked up guitar during this crazy time in the world right now. So yeah, this is my third day of learning guitar. So I'm really excited about that.
Amazing. Well, you know, maybe next time you'll play a song for us. That's awesome.
I'll just be solo.
Exactly. All right, man. So, you know, what kind of, you know, the coronavirus and this time has really kind of put everyone into a little bit of a different, you know, mindset, a little bit of a different lifestyle. As you said, you're picking up your guitar and you're learning, you know, new things. A lot of people are, you know, doing more research than ever before. They're watching more documentaries, learning about different things, such as a plant-based lifestyle, such as, you know, all kinds of political things. And, you know, it's definitely a really good opportunity for self-development and learning a lot of new stuff. So, you know, jumping right into it, I want to talk about, you know, how you found this plant-based lifestyle, which is kind of, I guess, the reason we connected in the first place. I think you just turned plant-based, or you're maybe, you know, in the beginning stages of experimenting with it when we met, and you know, we chatted for a while. You know, you asked me some of the questions that you had on your mind about fitness and how to optimize your diet for health and performance, and we stayed in touch, and you know, you've been plant-based ever since. So how did you even, you know, get interested in this whole lifestyle in the first place? What was a catalyst for you?
Yeah, well, to your first point, John, I think, definitely now there's never been a more opportunistic time to invest in health. And I encourage people to pick up a book or watch an online course. There's so many great and free resources, even like yourself. Like last night, I just couldn't stop watching your videos. Even before we met, when I found out that I was going to get a lunch with you, I was obsessed with seeing your diet and all that sort of thing.
Awesome.
As far as the plant-based journey goes, yeah, I had met you essentially 1 week or 2 weeks after my decision to do it. My journey started back when I was maybe 15. I was in the middle of filming my show. We were on, I think, the end of our first season. And vegan / plant-based lifestyle was intriguing to me because I watched a movie I'm sure a lot of people who are listening or watching this have seen, Forks Over Knives, and I liked the sort of scientific point of view. You know, when I was 8 years old, I was the one who turned my family onto organic food.
That's awesome, dude.
Read something in a newspaper. It's cool. I read something in a newspaper and I was like, wow, there's there's like pesticides and chemicals that's being put in our food. And ever since then, we've been buying organic. So I've always had an interest in the science behind what we put in our bodies and that sort of thing. So fast forward to I'm 15 filming my show and I watched the movie, and me and my family decided to give it a try. So we go vegan, right?
Wow.
And my mom, we all had a very hard time in the beginning. Mm-hmm. My mom and my dad dropped out maybe after 3 weeks of doing right. it. It was just very difficult. And I continued on because I have my, you know, I'm so confident and I want to stick with it. Yeah. Also partly to show off to my parents, but I kept with it for a year. But there were some problems, and I wish I had a resource like you to be able to ask questions, maybe join a program on your website or something like that, because I didn't have the knowledge or the education to have a diet that was nourishing enough. So what happened was I ended up losing weight. I wasn't taking in enough calories. And yeah. On top of that, I was shooting a TV show, you know, 12, 13 hours every day, and I would get a box of kale for lunch, and that's just not enough.
That's definitely not sustainable, for sure, for sure. You know, this is the you know, one of the biggest issues that people encounter is, you know, they find a passion to give it a go, but they're confused. They don't know how to do it. And no matter how amazing these documentaries are at inspiring us to take action and to give this lifestyle a shot, eventually, you know, unless you have, you know, the support system in your life, unless you know exactly how you can apply those steps into your own life, you know, it's going to be super challenging, right? So maybe you can, so that people understand, you know, what went wrong, because I know a lot of people can relate to that situation, and especially, you know, with the family side of things, how do you think things went wrong in that first attempt? Do you think it was because your diet beforehand was so vastly different from the plant-based diet, or was it more a lack of calories, or what was the thing that, you know, was the biggest issue that first time around?
Yeah. So the first time around, which was a fail, just so that's clear for everybody.
Yeah.
I think the big issue, it was kale. It was a kale. The biggest issue, there was actually sort of a caveat on top of all this. I had some very bad acne growing up, and after moving out to LA when I was 14, and then I got my show, I decided to see a dermatologist who essentially recommended that I don't eat gluten, I don't eat dairy, I don't eat sugar, and a whole bunch of other things. So that sort of happened at the same time I decided to go vegan, go plant-based. And I think that was very limiting and an extreme contrast to what I had been doing before. I mean, I was eating healthy before. Mm-hmm. I, you know, wouldn't eat fast food, don't drink soda or a lot of candy. Mm-hmm. But that was the factor that got into it that sort of messed up the whole attempt.
100%. Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. And, you know, it's good to hear also that, you know, you grew up in a relatively, you know, healthy household. I grew up in a very healthy household as well. We had rice and beans and salad, and, you know, a piece of meat or something on the side, you know, every single day. We were never allowed any junk food in the house. We were never, you know, encouraged to eat any bad stuff. So sounds like you had a kind of similar upbringing in terms of diet. And I think for people like us who are brought up on a, you know, healthier diet, it makes the transition a little bit easier in many ways, especially if you're focusing on whole plant foods, because, you know, I'm sure you know how the standard American diet is and how the Western world is eating their foods. Just like, you know, I remember
absolutely
going to high school in Texas, and it'll be, you know, pizza and cookies and all the worst things ever. And I'll be like, you know, nonstop 5 times a day. So, you know, changing from a complete junk food garbage diet into a whole food plant-based diet is extremely challenging, and people need time to, you know, understand these things, and their body needs a lot more time than, you know, someone like me and you need to adjust to, you know, eating completely plant-based, because like you said before, you've kind of eaten these healthy organic foods growing up before that.
It's a lifestyle. I think it's a lifestyle. And going from, I mean, I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia. I would visit Nashville all the time, which I believe, don't quote me, but I think it has the highest obesity rate for the entire country. So growing up and being around people who might not have had as healthy of a lifestyle as I did was sort of eye-opening, and in a way helped me, because I could see that I was eating in a different way. And I think having that perspective was helpful, and helps me to this day, because I can understand it. And what's crazy is a lot of people don't realize all the hidden sugars. They don't realize that their breakfast cereal has 20 grams of sugar, and their yogurt has another 15, and their bread has another 7. Not that sugar is a bad thing, but you start adding it up, and you're like, oh wow, maybe my breakfast that's zero cholesterol isn't so healthy after all.
I mean, it's a complete disaster, and it's not only in America, it's around the world, like, you know, South America, same thing. Europe is, you know, obesity rates are increasing all over the world, right? And the education from a young age in terms of nutrition and health is completely missing. You know, in schools, kids are just being fed garbage by parents. Parents don't even have an understanding what is healthy, what is not healthy. So it's a complete mess. So as we're seeing in the world, you know, chronic disease is at its peak. Obesity is at its peak. Diabetes, these things. So, you know, the time to change is now. So it's really cool to see that you found all this out so early on, and you've kind of now come full circle. So that brings me to the next question. What kind of made it easier the next time you tried, or, you know, the whenever you actually, you know, decided to go 100% plant-based? I'm assuming that was, you know, like, you know, a couple of months before we met. What was the thing that made it easier this time around as opposed to last time? What did you do to make it sustainable?
Yeah, resources. In one word, it's the resources, and it's people like you, John, who are able to educate and be a voice in the community. I think community is so important when changing your lifestyle, whether it's being more active or becoming a swimmer or taking on a sport, or even for your mental health, learning guitar. It's anything that can change or move you in a good way. I actually have written right here on my board, it says change happens at the end of your comfort zone. I think it's important you have a community to back you and guide you, because when you're out of your comfort zone, that's when things can kind of get rocky and you might give up too soon.
So what did you, like, you know, I see you're, you know, as an actor, I know it's a very physical job. You're on your feet all the time. And on top of that, you know, you need to stay in shape, right? You need to, you know, do cardio, you need to be working out. So, you know, what were the basic steps that you took to ensure that you, you know, didn't feel too hungry this time around? Like, what are the biggest tips that you can give someone who is looking to, you know, take that next step, just like you did?
Yeah, don't be afraid of carbs, I think was a big thing. I avoided carbs mainly because I could see my abs, right? I thought that would make my abs poke out, rather, because not eating the carbs, and I lowered the body fat, but I was very skinny. And back on my first attempt that we just discussed, I was underweight. I was clinically underweight. And now I'm a lot stronger and a lot healthier.
Right.
So, did that answer your question?
Yeah, no, I mean, 100%. I mean, like, in terms of, what foods did you, you know, make sure that you incorporate to, you know, that could be a helpful thing, like, you know, carbs in general, like fruits, I'm guessing, you know, oatmeal, quinoa, and these things.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, for sure.
The carbs, planning out my meals helped a lot. finding things that I like to eat that I can just go to. Like, I love bagels. Bagels okay. with an avocado on top is like the bomb.
Love that.
It fills me up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just finding things that you really like, finding the snacks and the foods so that you don't have to prepare things or mm-hmm. go hunting for it. Just being able to make something quick that fills you up and is nourishing and healthy.
Yeah. Did anything stand out about the transition this time around? Did anything, any benefits or added benefits come that you weren't expecting, or even challenges, you know, did you have to run into challenges that you weren't expecting as well this time around? Like, what are some of those highlights so far? I mean, like, you're still early on in the journey and stuff, and but it's
I'm
really
so
cool
early. And that's the thing I want to point out to whoever's listening is that I'm still experimenting. You know, this is just what works for me.
Yeah.
I'm so brand new to this. I'm 8 months into it, and the benefits have been enormous. I have an immense increase in energy throughout the day. I don't get a midday crash. I'm just like steady, rock solid energy throughout the day. My workouts are great. The pumps are better. I think the number one thing is that I recover so much more quickly. If I go in the gym and I just have a burnout day, I might be sore the next day, but I'm ready to go up and at it after maybe day two or three.
That's so awesome.
Recovery has been the highlight for me as someone who goes to the gym at least 4 or 5 times a week, and I do yoga every day, so I'm very active.
Yeah. Now, that was my main benefit as well. When I switched over, I remember I was kind of plateauing in my strength. You know, I would always be, you know, very sore after my workouts, and it would take me a little bit more time to recover. But when I switched to a plant-based diet, immediately I was able to, you know, recover faster, which meant I could push more weights, increase my training volume, and then, you know, get stronger even quicker.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Do you have like a pre-workout snack, something you eat like either mm-hmm. right before the gym or at the gym? Or do you even recommend doing that?
Yeah, I mean, it's all down to personal preference, right? So some people are used to eating something before going to the gym. If you are, you know, someone who enjoys doing that, you can keep doing it. For me, I'm completely random. I don't have a schedule in terms of or a protocol for that. If I feel hungry, I'll have, you know, maybe an orange or, you know, a banana, some dates, you know, something like that. But if I'm not really feeling it, a lot of times I'll work out fasted in the morning. But it's completely different from person to person. Some people, you know, just burn energy a lot quicker than other people, and they need fuel beforehand, right? So for me, my body's extremely efficient at holding on to those resources and those, you know, whatever, you know, kind of glycogen is stored up. So I don't really need it myself, but I do know a lot of people who, you know, need to, you know, get a lot of carbs in right before their workout, especially if you're doing cardio, cycling, running, and these things, for sure.
I love cycling, man. Yeah. I've been doing a little slab of peanut butter on a couple of dates.
Nice.
Some extra like boost. I really like that.
Yeah, no, for sure. You know, it's all down to personal preference. Like a lot of, you know, you'll learn as you go along that, you know, everything, there is no one size fits all. There is no one approach that works for everyone. And that is what I tell, you know, all my clients. That is what I try to tell everyone that is watching my videos. There isn't a protocol that is going to work for everybody. Some people, you know, need more fats into their diet. Some people need more carbs, or some people can't do, you know, too well with a lot of or beyond a certain amount of fiber, for example, right? So there are so many different variables and so many different things that affect your performance that it's really, you know, scary to give out general recommendations without, you know, that disclaimer. But it's also really important to experiment like you're doing yourself. You know, I'm seeing you, you know, cooking up different things and making different foods constantly. I saw you posted a picture on Instagram with tempeh, which is like, you know, the holy grail for me. Is like my favorite food ever. So healthy. And again, one of those kind of like misconceptions, right, is that soy and different plant foods are extremely bad for men and you know, increase estrogen, decreases testosterone. And actually, totally. I have a question relating to that. You know, the just the idea of social interactions, maybe, you know, relating to your career. How has you adopting a plant-based diet, you know, affected your personal life in terms of your relationships with your family, with your friends, coworkers, and these things? Have you noticed any difference? You know, are people cool with it? I know you're in LA, so it's a much different story than someone in Alabama, maybe, but it's super interesting to hear.
Yeah, being in LA is a great thing for someone who's plant-based or even just living a healthy lifestyle. But everyone around me has been generally supportive. Both my parents are meat eaters. My dad is actually keto. So yeah. He eats nothing but meat and cheese.
Yeah.
Very, very opposite. So it's a little strange to have so much meat in our fridge.
Yeah.
But everyone's been supportive. My girlfriend is vegetarian, crossing over into vegan, which makes things easy.
For sure.
Everyone's supportive though. And I think the thing that's a little less socially acceptable is the not drinking thing. So I stopped drinking, right, 6 months ago.
Okay.
Which sort of happened right about the time when I was vegan.
Yeah.
And that I think has had a lot more of a noticeable change, mm-hmm, in terms of social interaction. People are like, oh, that's cool, you're vegan and all, but why don't you drink? You
know, right,
I feel like I get more questions about that.
Yeah.
But in terms of the vegan thing, I think the world and especially the country is sort of catching onto it now more than ever, especially with movies, Game Changers coming out, right, with our friend Nimai in it.
Yeah.
And I think that the education and the resources like yourself, you guys are going to keep growing and expanding and teaching, and that will allow people to realize and think. It'll make them think about what they're putting in their bodies.
No, 100%. And it's really interesting to hear, what you're saying about the social acceptance of eating a plant-based diet versus, drinking, right? So, in many places that I know, it will be the opposite, right? Like, it will be way stranger, you know, to go vegan than to drink alcohol, right? But alcohol is also one of those very emotional attachment that people have. Like, it's, you know, it's something that, you know, if you're not doing it, you're judged instantly. And I've been there myself as well. Not that I probably drink maybe once a year max. Sometimes, you know, I go years without drinking or whatever, but only on very special occasions when I think it's, you know, super worth it. But it's super interesting. Would you say that, taking those two steps at the same time was like a conscious decision, or did it just happen automatically because you're feeling so good about the diet that you decided to, you know, just go even further and drop the alcohol? Or was it a conscious decision to, you know, do everything as well as you can straight away and go, you know, quit alcohol, you know, cold turkey, or, you know, just stop drinking and then adopt this healthy lifestyle at the same time?
I think it was sort of a snowball effect. I think, okay, I went vegan and I was doing it and I was feeling amazing. And mm-hmm, I realized like, oh yeah, I can do this. And I didn't have a problem with drinking. Mm-hmm. But it was something that it came to my attention. My really great friend, Autumn Kurtz, and she's a great resource for this, educated me a lot about the downsides of alcohol and how it's literally just poison.
Yeah.
And it's like, why do we go out and spend $15 per shot so that we won't remember our night and then wake, yeah, up with a splitting headache?
Yeah.
But the combo of the two, I know it probably seems extreme for many people, but I find that it just helps me even more. And it helps me with auditions and my work and being really clear-headed for preparing for roles and that sort of thing.
100%. That makes perfect sense. And, were you always, because, you know, doing those two things, you know, going plant-based, not partaking in drinking alcohol, these are things that require, it requires, you know, strength, confidence. It requires you to, you know, stick to your guns, so to speak. So have you always been that way? Have you always, you know, had, you know, self-belief and not been afraid of judgment and criticism from other people? Or was that something that you developed over the years?
That's a good question. I think it has to do with being in the industry for so long. You know, rejection is a huge, huge part of it.
Right.
I don't know if people realize as an actor, when you're going into, I mean, this pilot season, I was doing up to 4 or 5 lead role, big auditions like every week, which is a lot because you get really excited. You're like, wow, you start wondering the what ifs. Wow, what if I could book this? Yeah. Oh, I got a call back. I'm getting closer. Oh my God, if I book this, then this will happen and I'll move to New York. And I think the rejection part of the industry that I'm in has mm-hmm. definitely prepared me for that. I'm also an extremely self-confident person, which yeah. can much, you know, to a fault at sometimes, yeah. but I just try to be fearless in everything I do. And I posted something yesterday about the 40% rule. And it's basically that, you know, you're never going to go into something with 100% certainty. Mm-hmm. So as long as you have 40% certainty that you can do something or achieve something, you know, ask the girl out, start the new business, create the content, whatever it is, I think people should just do it, especially mm-hmm. when you're young, really at any age. Yeah. What do you have to lose? Like, you have one life to live. That's the approach I took with changing the lifestyle.
100%. Yeah, I was just going to ask if you applied that rule to anything. And it does sound like, you know, just the whole plant-based lifestyle in general was a big example of that, right? Because you didn't have all the answers. So many people, you know, they want to, you know, read all the books. They want to know every single detail and have everything ready in their minds to before they pull the trigger and make the change, whether that's, you know, starting a new business, like you're saying, or, you know, stepping into the gym for the first time. So I really like that rule. And I read that caption yesterday. And it was really cool. Yeah, I think that being confident is always like, you know, it's a benefit. And, you know, like you're saying, to a fault, sometimes it can, you know, backfire.
It's in trouble sometimes.
Yeah, 100%. I can relate to that. But it is kind of, you know, an essential skill to develop in life. And I know a lot of people who are, you know, looking up to you, who perhaps look up to me. A lot of people, you know, think that you
look up to you.
Thanks, man. I look up to you too. But a lot of people think that, thanks, man. A lot of people think that you have to reach a certain level of following, a certain level of riches, a certain level of, you know, status before you can feel that confidence. But what are some of the things that you think people can do to, you know, get that confidence, you know, like starting right now without having to, you know, achieve something before the confidence comes? Because like you're saying, you know, it has to, you know, be there so that you can grow as a person. Otherwise, you're never going to grow, right?
Yeah. Oh, my friend Gavin always says, you know, we're rich in life. You're rich in life. I think Bob Marley said, you know, your riches aren't, what are riches? The money, how much money you have in the bank, what kind of jewels you have. Your riches is in life forever. So I think breaking down everything and looking at your bare bone foundation, you know, what do you have and what do you have to lose? What really is there to lose? What people think of you, what you think people think of you. Someone once told me, I'm not what you think I am. I'm what I think you think I am. So our perceptions of how people think of us and our perceptions of their perceptions really get into our heads. And I think mm-hmm. if people strip down what they believe, what they think they believe, and what they think other people think about them, they can realize that there's really nothing to lose at all. So I'd hope, and I hope I can, and you can empower people to take that leap and just try.
100%.
Really just try.
100%. And I think what you said about, you know, rejection is so important, because a lot of people have that as a major, major fear in life, right? Like they're extremely scared of being rejected. And because of that, they don't even try, right? So, you know, I'm sure that your relationship with rejection, you know, just got better and better the more you did acting. But was there ever a point where that rejection of, you know, certain roles that you maybe, you know, you had a dream of landing a, you know, an awesome movie that you've always wanted to do, and, you know, you got rejected? And did you, you know, did at any point in your life, the disappointment get to you to a very, very, you know, large scale? And how did you overcome that, if so?
Absolutely. I mean, not, I think this happens with actors. I think it happens with people going into job interviews. You start thinking about the what ifs. There was a big project that I was up for. I was essentially a second choice, go through several audition processes, and they narrowed down from possibly thousands down to you and two other people. And you know, they make you sign the contracts as an actor. Yeah. I don't know if people realize, but before you test, before you go through that last process, they make you sign contracts, and you're seeing numbers and you're seeing years, you know, 7-year contract. Yeah. And you're like, wow, how that would set me up for life. That would be such a great blessing. There have definitely been many times that, you know, it might've put me in a funk for many weeks. But my mom always said to me, you know, every rejection is a learning opportunity. I think if people realize that it's a learning opportunity and that it can empower them to go into the next audition or interview with that new knowledge of, hey, you know what, I can do this better next time, or I can be this way, then you're constantly building on your repertoire of skills. And the rejection is such a huge part of it. And I think that's why many people, even my peers growing up, sort of give up on the industry, especially, is because of that rejection. 100%. But to answer your question, there have been many times that I feel down, especially when getting so close to a role. It sucks.
Yeah, no, I can imagine. And that is, you know, when I talk about personal development, you know, failure is a key aspect of that, right? Like, we have to constantly be willing to fail, like, you know, you're talking about, in order to learn from those, not even mistakes, but it's like, you know, those failed attempts, right? And it's not even necessarily that you yourself weren't good enough for whatever else you were trying to do, right? Like, a lot of times it's a subjective call by someone who is, you know, completely not seeing the whole picture, or, you know, you're not always in control of the situation. So it's really important to, you know, get your head around that and understand that failure is just a step closer to, you know, success. And everything is success. Like, there is no real failure unless, you know, you're dead, or, you know, you end up in a very, very bad situation. There is only, you know, there are no failures, are only opportunities to learn. So that's a really powerful thing. And I think
failure.
Yeah, go for it.
I think failure too is almost like every failure, everything that you go through in life is almost a test. And it's a test by the universe or whatever higher power you might believe in. It's your journey's test, your hero's journey test to guide you on the right path. And if you're able to overcome these obstacles, I think that's what will lead you to your born rights, whatever you might call it.
Yeah, 100%, man.
Your higher power.
Yeah. And so what are your current, like, what do you have your eyes on right now? Like, what are you currently focusing the most on? Like, what do you see for yourself in the next, you know, you said you had a long-term vision. What do you have, as a long-term vision for yourself, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, I mean, the next 30 years is really the time frame I look at. I try to focus on the macro and, you know, figure out what I want in life. There's a great quote I actually was just reading this morning. This is a book. It's Napoleon Hill's Positive Action Plan. And every day it just gives you a little something to read about. And today was about goal setting. And I think it's important that you know what you want. Because then you might not know how to get there. And people spend their days figuring out what they want for the weekend.
Yeah.
And I think the world would be a very different place if people started thinking for the next year, the next 10 years, or the next 50 years of their lives, or even their children's lives. So for me, I'm learning guitar. So that's really exciting. learning every day, experimenting every day on my plant-based journey. And getting bigger is something that I'm focusing on. I want to, and I will play some sort of superhero in the future. I would love to do that.
I can see that. Yeah.
And I would love to. But continuing on my acting journey, I'm all in on acting, you know, taking classes, teaching classes, constantly learning. So that's my plan. I mean, the whole industry is shut down right now. When it opens back up, I'll be going in 100%. So acting's my my all in. But I love directing and I love producing and I love marketing. So I have other interests and hobbies, but acting is my above all
for
passion.
Sure, for sure. And for people listening, you also have a Instagram account that you're pretty active on, right? So you know, you post a lot of, well, like your own personal journey. It looks like a lot of modeling pictures. Like, you know, you're basically a model as well, it seems like, from you know, you could do both, it seems like, acting and modeling, from Instagram. Have you started going to TikTok at all yet? Everyone's talking about TikTok.
Yeah, so I did start a TikTok and I got over 700,000 followers in 2 months or something. Wow, are you on
that's
TikTok?
Crazy. I uploaded 2 videos and I got like 10 views. I was like, I think I'll stick to my YouTube channel.
Oh, I'm man. Not on TikTok. Every day, man. Put out something every day.
Yeah.
Gary Vee says put out five pieces of content a day.
Yeah, but, that man's crazy, though.
I'm all about the TikTok. I think just like we're seeing, you know, Insta brands evolve coming out, like Gymshark, for example, I think there's going to be a whole wave of TikTok-related brands. And right now, as an influencer, as a person with interests, TikTok is the best platform to be on because the amount of attention you can get just from getting on the For You page or whatever, the algorithms favor new creators. And 100%. I'm really excited for people to get on it. And I'm seeing more and more people get on it too. I just put out something today. I surprised this girl and her sorority, and I surprised them on their Zoom call.
Nice.
And she made a video about it on TikTok, and it's like going viral right now. So that's really exciting.
That's amazing. Yeah, no, like,
I'm a big fan of TikTok.
Yeah, I'll be a grandpa on TikTok because it seems like the audience is a little bit younger there.
No way. Check out Japanese grandpa.
Oh, yeah.
TikTok will know what I'm talking about. Awesome. There's literal grandpas on TikTok, so don't you worry.
That's amazing. Yeah, man. So for people listening, where can they find you? Where can they connect with you the most? Are you most active on Instagram? Is it TikTok? Is it Twitter? I don't know if anyone uses Twitter anymore, but where are you active?
All of them, man. All of the above. You know, I started my Twitter account in 2009, so I'm a huge advocate for social media and communicating and sharing ideas. So people can look me up, Blake Michael, and I'm on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all the things.
Amazing, man. Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and I'm sure we'll have more conversations as time goes along. Big fan of your work, and I can't wait to see what the future brings for you, man. And with that attitude, I know that big things are waiting. So keep it up. Keep the ambition, the, you know, willingness to fail, the humility. Keep all that up because, you know, you're on the right path, my man. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Dude, John, thank you so much. You know, I'm a huge fan of yours, and I see your videos all the time, every day, and try to use your recipes and meal guides. So I hope everyone can check out John's stuff because he's been an invaluable resource for me. And so I just want to say thank you, man.
I appreciate that, man. All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, brother.